You know what time it is. It's time for You Know the Show. On today's episode, I am going to be talking to you guys just a little bit about anthropology. I don't know why I said it like that. So this is just a full disclaimer. I know you guys know this, but this is for my final exam. I'm going to be telling you guys about why does anthropology matter? Why should we be studying this? I want to open this up to you guys. What do you think anthropology is?
The study of anthros.
Thank you. Isn't it the study of people and like...
Somewhat. It's like the study of like people, like history, like why we behave the way we are. It's a lot like other sciences where... But the biggest thing is rather than like taking like a psychologist who only focuses on the psychology of the situation, anthropology works with psychology, biology, whatever the other ologies are, compiles them all together. And it's more of a, in my view, and like what I kind of took away from it, it's more of a humanistic rather than like an actual like, oh, let's crunch these numbers and figure out why these people are the way that they are. Like one of the biggest things was we were talking about one of the biggest causes of death in some countries is diarrhea.
What?
And yeah, all these babies were dying from literal diarrhea because diarrhea is obviously very liquid.
Like in the 2020s?
Huh?
Like in the 2020s?
Fairly recently, yeah. It was like diarrhea. Not the 2020s, but recent. It's not like this is like the, you know, like the
it
early 1900s.
Yesterday.
Yeah. But one of the things that, because it dehydrates you because diarrhea is very liquefied, so it's kind of pushing the hydration out of you. And they were giving these kids like Gatorade, basically like these like electrolyte mixes. But they were colored red. Right, and science would tell you that, you know, we're hydrating in the kids, it should be working. Why isn't it working? But with the use of anthropology, it actually taking more, I don't know if humanistic is the right word, but a more humane approach to it, they found out that in that particular culture, red was the color of heat, and they associated that with heat. So therefore, they were throwing them out when the scientists were giving them, and they weren't using them at all. But then once they changed the color to blue, the kids got better because they were actually using them because blue was associated with coolness. So in that situation, you know, anthropology was the one that kind of saved it. So first, just to make this not terribly, terribly long, we'll get right into it. I know that my teacher's going to be listening to this. He doesn't want to listen to an hour of it. Maybe he does. I don't know, but probably not. I wouldn't. Breaking down the first thing is culture. What do you guys think culture is?
Traditions, things like that.
People's beliefs.
The first definition made by Edward Taylor in 1871 is that complex whole which includes knowledge, belief, art, morals, laws, customs, and any other capabilities and habits acquired by man as a member of society. This is a lot of things. Very insane, just throwing a lot of crap out there. But what it really is, and Elvin Hatch and Jessica Cooper in 1985, I won't be throwing out facts like this later on, but change the definition to culture is the way of life of people. So, Louis, you weren't terribly off there. So in this, we have like patterns of behavior, such as roles. You know, we have different roles than other, let's say, clans or tribes would. Norms. Obviously, everyone has different norms. Anthropology aims to study what these are. And doing this, they, you know, talk to people and actually learn what's important to them and what normal behaviors look like. What are their values? We have different values than other cultures would. And then symbols, behavior, and or objects used to transmit values and norms. Why do you guys think this is important? I don't want to just talk at you the whole time.
It's people's history, you know?
It is the history of people.
You understand people. You understand them. You know how to manipulate
them. Whoa. There's going to be professors listening to this, Louis.
I'm not wrong.
Not manipulate people. We're not aiming to manipulate people. We're aiming to understand people and have a more inclusive overall feel rather than just going like, oh, that's weird, and then just like discrediting them entirely. We learn about why they are the way that they are.
Yeah, and then you know then you can manipulate them. Ask the CIA.
Dr. Cantrell, I am sorry.
To go against that, you could see how
please
people
go against that.
Were manipulated, and that way you could understand why people felt to certain people's manipulation.
Yeah. Okay, let's give a little history. We did have a conspiracy theories episode. Louis hates the government. Just to put it out there, he hates him. So this is not Louis. This is not going back to always back to tracing back to the CIA, because the CIA isn't involved in this. I'm not talking about America here. I mean, I know that the CIA does more than that, but
the KGB.
You know what I mean? Oh no, it's getting far too political. Louis, this is my final exam. I'm just kidding. Now, also, if you guys ever want to sound smart like I do right now, I'm throwing definitions at you left and right.
You sound very smart right now.
Thank you. I am educated. I'm also, just give you a little visual, I'm dressed in very fancy clothes for my poster presentation earlier today. But now tell me how smart I sound when I ask you this, right? Let me teach you about political organization and sociopolitical typologies.
So it is political.
Wow.
What is that?
I don't even know.
Say it again.
You don't know.
I just heard political.
Political organizations and sociopolitical typologies. How smart do I sound there?
Pretty educated.
Edumacated, yes.
Edumacated.
Big word.
Big word. Now, there are four types of sociopolitical typologies. There are bands. Bands are the oldest form of sociopolitical typologies. They are the least complex. They are very, very small groups, often usually less than 15 members. So these are just like families, essentially, who all live together and survive off of one another, and they don't have really involvement with other types of groups. They are nomads, food gatherers. There's almost no role specialization. So obviously, you know, we have this this issue of people thinking that, you know, men are capable of more than women. But in this, they don't have, you know, it's not like, let's say us three are banned. It's like, oh, Noah, you're the expert in hunting. Louis, you're the expert in fishing, and I'm the expert in cooking or farming. Let's say we'll try to cover everything. Okay. It doesn't really work like that. So you don't go out and do that. You don't go out and do that. I don't go out and do that. It's everyone works together. No one really has a specialty. For instance,
I'm gonna interrupt a little bit.
Please.
What did you say?
Sociopolitical typologies.
Okay, what is that?
Essentially, the types, like, I guess, typologies, the types of societies that exist. Does that make sense?
Okay, that makes more sense.
Okay.
Like a matriarchal society, patriarchal society, something like that?
Not necessarily. It's more of what I said, bands, tribes. How am I blanking on this? Bands, tribes, chiefdoms, and states. And then moving on to tribes. Tribes are also often, like, gatherings of bands put together into one tribe. You guys know what tribes are. I don't need to super, super heavily explain that to you.
Not more.
Generally larger than bands. Normally, they're semi-nomadic and semi-settled, so they'll move if they need to, but they're not always on the move. There's very little role specialization. There is very little ownership over material goods. So, obviously, you know, you have your house. You own your TV. No one else owns that TV. But in tribes and bands, if we have access to a shovel, that's everyone's shovel. That's not just Gregory's shovel. And then also, they lead by influence rather than authority. They may have a big man, but they often don't have one person in charge like we do with the president. Chiefdoms, though, often larger populations than bands and tribes. They are mostly settled. They produce food, and then leadership is formalized into chief and sub-chiefs. So basically, you know, we're moving up the ladder here. We're getting these bigger settlements. Man, I can't talk. And basically, the bigger they get, the more role specialization they have, the more leaders they have, and kind of the less inclusive they get. Because at chiefdoms, now we do have people who are specifically for hunting, people who are specifically for fishing, people who are specifically for farming, things of the sort. And next, states. I don't know if I have to super explain this to you guys, but we have states. That's what we are. We did actually read a very interesting article about how agriculture is the worst mistake in human history.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, because agriculture essentially allowed us to settle into these these massive, massive settlements. And there you have diseases that spread. Uh-huh. You have less diversity in these societies. You have extreme role specialties. You have a very, very powerful leadership structure. Like you hate the government. That's what comes out of these things, these organizations. that was a really interesting article. I think that, I keep touching the mic, I'm sorry. I think that while maybe, I don't know if I call it the worst mistake in human history, because it's definitely, you know, we don't have to worry about, oh, how are we going to grow the corn? That's not our concern. We just eat it and we buy it.
Right.
I think it's inevitable. I don't know if you guys, like, can you guys see a society where we stick with hunting and gathering rather than going to agriculture?
I can't. No, not really.
Yeah, it. I can't envision it. It doesn't make sense to me. And maybe it did ruin us, but
I feel like there's also a lot more arguments for the start of agriculture in human history.
What do you mean?
Like, instead of saying, oh, agriculture was the worst thing that happened to us, a lot more arguments could be made that agriculture was the best thing that could happen to humans.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. It just kind of, because I think that before reading that article, I never thought about agriculture being like a mistake or even close to a bad thing. And it kind of opened my eyes up to how it could be a bad thing. Not saying that I agree with the article. I really don't agree with the article. But it was eye-opening and another reason as to why anthropology matters.
Ooh.
Giving us lots of the sides of the story. Now, we have talked about religion before on this podcast. So moving on, let's talk about religion. Now, I know that one of us in particular is religious. So, Louis, I have three different types of approaches. I think I've asked you this before, but for the sake of the podcast, let's pretend I haven't asked you this before. Because actually, fun fact, I asked him about this after taking the class because I learned something in this class.
Oh, wow.
There is the intellectual approach or the cognitive approach, which is the notion that religious beliefs provide explanations for puzzling things and events. Let me keep these in mind. I'm asking you why okay. Why you're religious. Then there's also the psychological approach, which is the idea that emotional or affective satisfactions people gain from religion are primary in interpreting religion. And then the sociological approach emphasizes the effects of religion on maintaining institutions of society as a whole by instilling common values, creating solidarity, controlling behavior, and so forth. Which one do you think you are?
Definitely the third one, the sociological. The social science approach.
Sociological
yes.
approach. Are I you religious, speak. Noah?
No.
No? Now.
But I feel like most people in religion, I know a lot of people that obviously are parts of religion.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like most people would go with like a combination of all three.
A combination of all three?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I think that, for example, like I know that Louis is the sociological approach. I think that he also has a little bit of the intellectual approach too, where is the notion that religious belief provides explanations for puzzling things and events, because there are things that we can't explain, and it's easy to just say, God did it.
Right.
But, you know, we study this because rather than, you know, I always think the fascinating thing about religion is that, I mean, obviously this isn't always the case, but this is most commonly the case is, why are you a Christian, or why are you this, or why are you that? And it's because you were born into that. And so then you create this thing of, oh, I was born a Christian, so my God is the right God, putting in that in air quotes. And anthropology allows us to study other religions and gain why other people believe other things, which is, you know, again, why anthropology matters, because without it, we wouldn't know that. We wouldn't be open to that. Next one is really interesting, which is race. Now, Louis, you're Filipino. Right.
Unfortunately, yes.
Whoa. Now, if I were to take, let's say, Noah, you're Mexican.
That's me.
Do you guys think that all of our DNA is different because I'm white, you're Mexican, you're Filipino?
No.
Are there any genetic differences?
No.
Is there any difference?
I don't know, actually.
There any genetic differences between me and a black man?
I don't know.
Probably 0.0000001%.
Well, then you guys are the good ones. I was expecting I had to argue with you on this because there is no genetic difference between.
Don't we have very similar genetics to a banana?
Huh?
Like a very similar DNA structure to a banana?
I'm not
I
too
swear I've heard that before.
Certain. I know. Shoot, it's totally slipping my mind now. There was a fun fact in the video that we watched, which was.
Bananas.
I mean, it had to do with a monkey. We know monkeys like bananas. But it was, oh my God. Shoot, I'm totally blanking on this. What was the fact? What was the fact, Gabe? Remember?
I think that there's a 2% difference between human DNA and monkey DNA, and that 2% difference is like the entire, is like just that big. Like, monkeys don't even know what 1 + 1 is, while humans could calculate the mass of Jupiter while knowing its distance from the sun or something.
Yeah, it is definitely very, very similar to that. It was. Yeah, I'm forgetting something, but it was, let's just say that the genetic differences between all humans, like disregarding race, because A, race is not a genetic fact. That's the biggest takeaway from this, is that race is not a biological fact, which is something that people often struggled with, because I know we watched, this was actually my sociology class that I took, but they were doing a study, I'm putting study in air quotes too, because I don't think that this, whoever did this study doesn't deserve the right to call themselves a scientist. But they were testing, ooh, saying that white people's skulls are bigger than black people because therefore their brains are bigger. But what he was doing was he was using these beans, and he was putting these beans inside of the black people's skull and then putting it inside of the white person's skull. But what he was doing was he just filled the black skull, and then he crushed up the white person's beans so that it would fit more.
That's
which
crazy.
Is kind of why I said I don't believe that
that
person can call themselves a scientist.
What
and
a
then, you know, they used to say that, you know, black people are underdeveloped, something crazy, you know, another crazy factoid that's totally false about black people. And then when they started winning these Olympic races because they thought white people were superior, it's like, oh, no, now black people are superior in sports because let's just say that they're more in tune with their primitive side. Let's just say that. And so it kind of shows that, science was built off of a lot of racist white people, which is not good. But again, why anthropology matters. Next, kind of going back to the first thing I talked about, which is applied anthropology. Now, applied anthropology is kind of using all the ideas that I've set forth in front of you guys and actually applying them to real life scenarios, which is similar to the story that I told you about the Gatorade packets in that country solving the diarrhea. What was it? The teacher, or I guess I should say, there's different steps to this. There is applied anthropology, collaborative anthropology, and community-based participatory action. And there are three C's, which are connect, which is finding folks engaged in the community and begin discussions about what they think is important. So, you know, going to different communities, because what's important to you is not important to other people. So figuring out why these different things are important to them and what is important to them. Next is consult, which is do research to better understand the context and history of the issue. How has it been defined? How has it been approached? What has worked? What hasn't? And then collaborate, which is working together with community partners to develop strategies. Now, we watched a short film in class about this group of college students who went to, I forget, it was a country in Africa, I believe, and they were figuring out that there was issues. For example, the fishing, the agriculture in general, they were struggling to make ends meet, and they were struggling to find answers because they, unlike us, you can't just Google how to fish, right? So they actually started trying to make a radio show for these people to get the concerns out there and hopefully provide for the people. So they connect, you know, they talk with the folks, they figure out what's important to them, what the issue is, consult, they did the research to better understand the context and the history of the issue, figuring out that not enough people are getting the tools that they need to better the communities and better their food intake and their water intake. And they collaborated, which is when they mm-hmm. worked together, they made the radio stations with these young people. And it was a fairly recent study, so I can't really tell you what effects it had yet. But again, why anthropology matters, because without that, this community would still be struggling to find fish, to find food, to mm-hmm. find water, to farm, all these different things.
I see.
That makes sense.
Any closing thoughts, lingering issues you may have had?
I feel like anyone with an anthropology degree would go great in the CIA.
Holy crap.
Like a STEM major working for Lockheed Martin or something.
Any smart final thoughts?
Yeah, honestly.
Or ones that don't just target the CIA or the government.
Going back to the typology, why do you think as population grows, we lean towards specialization and leaders?
Well, I think so. I'll bring this back to my my cross country team, for example, and middle school and high school. So the role of captain wasn't a thing when I was in middle school. In high school, it was, but when I was in middle school, and I think that it was a large team, probably like 40-ish kids, and I became captain. I kind of think that when you have larger communities, leadership comes naturally because they like to have somebody to look to for guidance and for leadership, and to also just stay in control of the things that they don't feel like controlling, if that makes sense.
Okay.
They kind of handle the responsibilities. But if you have like a family of like 15 people, I'm sure that there is natural leadership with the mothers and the fathers, but I just think that leadership comes naturally. Any other questions?
I don't think so.
That was a good question.
Thank you.
You're not going to like my question.
Just ask it.
No.
Oh.
Ask it and say it into the mic.
No.
Because your audio levels are low. So are mine.
You won't like it. It's fine.
Just say it.
No.
Oh, my God. Just say it. This is my final exam. Just say it. I'll try to make an intelligent answer for you.
Now I forgot.
Wow. Convenient.
How convenient. Okay, let me just ask you this. Did it have something to do with the CIA or the government?
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, hey, there's only governments in state and state sociopolitical typologies.
That's true. Mm-hmm. We learned that today.
You did learn that today.
Did remind me a lot of my sociology class from high school. He did talk about anthropology. He said he loved it.
Mm-hmm. In high school, you said?
Yeah. My teacher really liked anthropology when he took it in college.
I mean, anthropology is definitely fascinating. I just also liked it because it doesn't just focus on one area of study. And it also focuses on genuinely helping people, which with other sciences, sometimes it feels like that's not always entirely the goal. And I feel like for anthropology, that is the goal, is to help and better other communities.
Seems like it's a lot about understanding.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Any other questions?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, we are at about 22 minutes. You know, teachers probably, or professors probably a little bit tired at this point. So in that case, thank you all for listening to me. Hopefully, maybe you'll take the class, or at least you just now know why anthropology matters. So with that, you know what time it is. It is time to go.